Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back in home sweet home. Our last two episodes were from a far, far away land known as Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's how they pronounce it.
Baton Rouge! Baton Rouge! No.
No.
Baton.
No, just stop.
Baton Rouge. Okay, Baton Rouge, fine.
Okay, at least it's not the worst pronunciation.
Yeah, we've actually heard worse, and that's the thing about living in Southeast Louisiana, is the mispronunciations are epic.
Yeah, I think Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, I think yeah. That was someone from South Carolina said that.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out how to say stuff.
But anyways,
yeah,
we are back.
Sidetracked already.
Oh, 10 seconds, new record.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, but yes, we are indeed back in home sweet home with the acoustics we love and spending time with the people we love, you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, talking about haunted attraction stuff. And this week's episode was inspired by a visitor, by a listener. We'll be getting to that in a minute, but
okay.
But this was part one of what we just realized will probably be a multiple part series.
Right.
We don't know how many parts, but this is part one. We cannot promise if or when this series will end, but I can almost guarantee there will be more.
And it may mutate into, you know, haunts you haven't heard of kind of thing.
Haunts you haven't tried type of thing or whatever, you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Long story short, we'll get to how we came up with this idea in a minute.
It was suggested to us.
Yes, it will.
We didn't really come up with it.
No, we didn't. But no, we will give credit where credit is due shortly. But first thing is first, conference reminders. Trans World is over. I know we're all sad.
Yeah.
But there are still plenty of great, excellent, and dare I even say, awesome conferences for you to go to. So on that note, let's kick it off. You want me to start this week?
Sure.
Well, coming up May 1st through 5th, it's the Room Escape Conference and Tour in Niagara Falls, New York at the Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center, Tour of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Games. The conference is the 1st through the 3rd, Tour is the 4th and the 5th. Learn more at roomescapeshow.com. I actually checked before we got in. Mm-hmm. If you hurry now, you can get your expedited passport. It's going to be buku crazy expensive,
but
you can get your expedited passport in time for this conference, so it can still be done.
Yes, and I believe that Dwayne from 13th Gate said that he will be there. Yes. So, if you are there, say hi for us.
And tell him you heard him here.
Yeah. All right, next.
You were that guy on that Haunt Weekly podcast.
Yeah, not the one that...
not the legendary one. You were that guy on Haunt Weekly. Yeah.
All right.
He's so humble, he'll probably believe it.
Oh, no.
He's such a great guy. I'm sorry.
All right. May 12th through the 14th, West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel. Touring House of Shadows, a multi-attraction haunt. And hauntersconvention.com for more information
on
that.
Yeah, when I first heard about this one, I was kind of sad they were only touring one place.
Yeah.
And then I saw that thing had 8 attractions in it.
Yeah.
And I got a little less sad.
Yeah, that's a lot to do.
That's a lot to do. So yes, after that, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention, June 8th through 11th in Columbus, Ohio. They'll be touring the Scaratorium, Scare Factor, Dead Acre / Haunted Hoochie, and there's also a late night monster beach party. That's going to be one crazy night, man.
Yep,
all that and more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Now be sure to pick which one of those events you want to go to, because a lot of them are on the same night, if not all of them.
No.
All right, then July 29th and 30th, we have Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California at the Long Beach Convention Center. It's hosted by Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventure. Long Beach Convention Center, we already said that.
Yes, we did. That's redundant. Redundancy Department of Redundancy strikes again.
Fix that. MidsummerScream.org for more information.
All right, after that, it is Scare LA, August 5th through 6th at the Los Angeles Convention Center West Halls and, of course, Los Angeles, California. It'd be really disappointing if it were in another town.
Yeah.
There'll be 200 plus vendors and mini panels on the Haunted Attraction business. Plus, as is tradition with this conference, celebrity hosts to be announced. Yes. Learn more at scarela.com.
Then, August 25th through the 27th, it's Halloween and Haunt Fest Show in Dallas-Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center. HalloweenandHaunt.com to follow up with them to whenever there's more information available.
Yes. Blah, 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 blah. We might be a little bit out of practice. Mm-hmm. In our defense, we were very lucky to have 2 weeks sort of all from Haunt Weekly because we had the episodes recorded.
Right.
And because we had a crazy project in our private lives.
Right.
That took like 80 hours
at least, yeah,
on it over the past week and a half. So if we seem a little bit out of it today, it's exhaustion plus celebration plus exhaustion from the celebration.
Yeah.
That has wreaked havoc on our feeble little minds. But we will do our best to muddle our way through this. But yes, the reason for this podcast.
Yes.
We have to give credit to Maximus Christian Bryant. He posted to the Haunt Weekly page, which, by the way, we are Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Haunt Weekly at Twitter. Definitely hit us up at those two locations. He is from the Dent Schoolhouse in Cincinnati, Ohio. And basically, he had the idea of saying, hey, you guys should do a haunted attraction wish list.
Yeah.
And we immediately thought that was a pretty kick-ass idea.
Yeah. Well, my honest answer is any that I can go to.
Well, okay, yes.
That's my most honest. But I do have some.
Yeah,
you're
right. We've literally never turned down a haunted attraction in our history, have we?
No.
I don't think we have.
No, we even went to the little trailer out at the Bulow Fun Park.
Oh, jumping Jehoshaphat. That,
because it was something to do.
Yeah, and it was literally Dwayne, when we go back to the area of Dwayne, he opened in Alexandria originally.
With right.
Louisiana Nightmares was the haunt.
Yeah.
He left Alexandria to go to Baton Rouge, bigger right. market, better space, better blah, blah, blah. Everything was better yeah. for him. Good move. But what Alexandria got left with was Bulow Fun Park and its double wide trailer of terror.
Yeah.
And that did not go good.
No.
That was not good.
No.
But yes. So we have never turned down a haunted attraction. Would love to go to any and every haunted attraction. If your attraction is not mentioned in this, this is, like I said, probably part one of a mini, mini part series.
Right.
So stay tuned. It might come up later. And also, we're never going to turn down a trip to a haunt.
No.
What kind of monsters do we look like?
Not
that kind of monster. But yeah, so basically, so we sat down to do this, and immediately the idea started flying.
Yeah.
Like, flying like water. Wait. flowing like that? Never mind. But anyways, I realized, that our biggest limitation when it comes to going to haunts is geography.
Yes.
We are based in New Orleans, and during season, the furthest we can travel, and this is stretching it by itself, is a few hours, 2 to 3 hours. And that has actually a pretty wide arc. It encompasses everything. Like, if you go west, it goes past Lafayette a little bit.
Yeah.
More toward the state line and all that.
Right.
Go the other way, it gets way into Alabama. Actually, a little Florida panhandle action there.
Yeah.
Up north, you can get pretty much to the top of the state.
Yeah.
It's a pretty wide range, but we're pretty much limited to Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Now, we have done St. Louis.
Right.
So, like, the darkness and Lint Brewery and all that's not on this list because we've actually been able to do that.
Right.
Not on the haunt. You can't make a wish list of stuff you've done.
Yeah.
So, long story short, those are already covered. But, yeah, that still leaves us with, like, an entire country's worth of haunts that we want to go
there's
to.
There's also international ones, which aren't on this list, but will be in a future episode.
Yeah, we might actually, and that's one thing that we were actually talking about, was these are limited to the U.S. right now. We may go back and make part two of this,
right.
do international haunts. Because there are some great international haunts I want to see.
Yeah, because I remember when we first started doing the reviews over on the other site, someone wrote us and told us, well, I bet your haunt isn't as good as ours. Because we've got a little garage haunt, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a Canadian haunt based on a big ship, and it was a big multi-million dollar affair, and I'm like, of course we're not going to be as good.
Yeah, you cheaters. Cut me a check for a few million. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah. But, So no, I do want to. I thought it was the Queen Mary. I tried to look it up, but it wasn't. But if anybody knows which haunt that is, that's on a ship in Canada, write me, because I will put it on my international list wish, just because I want to go up there and say, you know what, you're right.
But yes, we do have a lot of great haunts we want to go to, and we're going to fill our time discussing the whys of these particular haunts and why these leapt to mind.
Yeah.
Sort of right off the bat. Okay, so the first one actually is one I think we have like a spiritual connection with in a weird way, even though we've never been.
Yeah.
And that's Raven's Grin Inn.
Yeah.
It is located in Mount Carroll, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, basically. And we are home haunters at our core, and this is a home haunt on crack, meth, steroids.
Yeah.
Take your drug. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. It's open year-round. They close Wednesdays.
Yes.
But they're open 6 days a week, close Wednesdays. And long story short, they are open every single night. And some of our friends went up that region not that long ago. They went on the tour and have just been spinning these incredible stories about the experience. And I am a flutter to go myself.
Right. And we mentioned that we may be able to actually make the trip up this summer. We may be able to do that. So if we do that, James Paulus has agreed to come with us.
Yes.
And on this adventure, because he's been, and he says it's like nothing we've ever seen. And that's the only thing people will tell us.
Yeah, basically.
So I've got to see it.
Every time we have mentioned this haunt to someone that has been there, it reminds me a little bit of how people talked about The Matrix.
Yeah.
After it was released. Oh, you just got to see it. It's nothing like you've ever seen. Nothing like you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Nothing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, fine, I'll watch a damn movie.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, so it's a little bit of that. But definitely, I'm really, really interested in this one. People really seem to struggle describing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, haunts like this is where you get a lot of your innovation.
Right.
It's where you get a lot of your new ideas from. Because like I said, it's a home haunt primarily.
Right.
My understanding is it's out of his home. Now, there is a money exchanging hands here.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I don't believe this is his primary business. And the result of that is, you know, that makes it a little more freeing.
Right.
To try things and to experiment. And I love that in haunts.
Yeah.
I love seeing it when haunts get really creative. I love it when haunts get imaginative and what they can do with it. So this seems like an opportunity to do exactly that.
Yeah. I mean, we've often put charity haunts up there with the big multi-million dollar haunts, because they're just so much fun to go to and so creative.
Yeah, and the passion is there. And and you can't get more passionate about haunting. I mean, yeah, we do a weekly podcast. We're passionate about haunting. This guy runs a year-round haunt open 6 days a week.
Yeah.
All right, perp a derp. We can't compete with him, I admit it. This is passion embodied for haunting. But yes, also on this list, this is the one that's probably most likely for us.
Right.
Because of the year-round nature of it, and because we do have reasons for being kind of close by.
Yeah.
I mean, we have family in St. Louis.
Right.
And yeah, I know St. Louis is still like 4.5-5 hours away from Chicago.
Right.
But still, that's closer than the 15 hours we are now.
Exactly.
It gets us 2/3 the way there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we can actually conceivably make this happen, and probably will have to do exactly that some point, hopefully this year.
Now, I do want to put in here right now, if anyone is having off-season events that they would like us to come to, write us and let us know, please, because we would love to see your haunt.
Yes,
we just can't do it all the time in October.
Yes. September and October, like everyone else that does haunty stuff, is borked.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Let us know. We would love to hear from you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one we have been to.
Kind of. Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
Sort of, maybe. No, we not really.
Well.
But yes, it's Terror Behind the Walls, Eastern State Pen. Now, we have been to Eastern State Pen.
Yes, it's awesome.
It is awesome. We got lost as hell going to Eastern State Pen.
Yeah.
And my greatest memory of Easter Day Pin other than Easter Day Pin was getting the push alert that the tolls have been canceled.
Right.
In New Orleans, a big deal here in the city. Yeah. We got the push alert while we were in Philly, and I was walking to the prison, and yeah. I really danced all the way to Eastern State Penn. Danced to the prison.
Yes.
It was quite comical and quite hilarious. Mm-hmm. But yes, Eastern State Penn, we did the historical tour of it, the
correct.
Traditional year-round tour of it, and it was incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's creepy. As we were walking through it, we were like, this would be a great place for the haunt. Oh, wait, what? They do a haunt?
Yes, they do. Well, we knew about the haunt before we went there, to be fair. But it's easy to lose sight that the haunt operates out of there. Because when you're going through it, they've taken so much care to preserve.
Yeah.
And to and to keep it, you know, as it was. It's very interesting because they describe what they're doing as keeping it in a state of controlled ruin.
Yeah.
I think those were the exact words they used.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And
they don't want to, like, refurbish and make it all shiny and new, just like it was.
No. Yeah.
Like it's a working prison or something. No, it's not at all.
No, we don't need more of those. And the proceeds of the haunted attraction go to that upkeep. Yeah. A lot of it, at least.
And I've got to say, though, it was, like I said, it was one of those things when we visited there and we were looking at everything, the first thought is, wow, if they didn't have a haunt here, they should.
Yeah.
They need to. They pretty much should be, like, legally obligated to. It's too perfect. But also, Eastern State Penn is known for doing a lot of innovative things in terms of the haunt experience.
Right.
They were one of the first to introduce they used the glow necklaces.
Right.
And people who acquire the glow necklace, I don't think it costs extra. I think you just have to consent to it.
No, I think it does cost extra there.
Okay. Well, regardless, you get a more extreme, more hands-on experience.
Right.
They'll pull you out. They'll push you against walls.
Yeah.
They'll do more with you.
Separate you from your group.
Exactly.
And it's, it is one of the first places that I heard of doing that.
Yeah.
And it's also one that's had to kind of work out the kinks of putting in a system like that because, there have been reviews where people didn't get the bracelets or the glow necklaces, but their friends did, and their friends got all of the attention, and they basically just got to walk through the prison like the historical tour would.
Yeah.
Which isn't very fair.
Yeah, it isn't very fair.
But
you know, and it's also one of those places, Eastern State Penn makes me think of, like, the mortuary here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where it's a place that the atmosphere is just built in.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of haunters, like, we will spend hours and hours and hours weathering and stressing and...
Look how old this brand new door is.
Exactly, and look how old we can make this pipe look that we just pulled out of that bolt at Home Depot.
Yes, look at this PVC pipe become an old rusted metal one.
No, they've got the real McCoy. They've got the real thing, and they've got it in spades. And so, you wonder, they're like on the historical tour... And you really get the ambiance of it. And I'm not, like, one of those people that believes that, like, places are, like, super haunted or whatever.
Right.
Falls into that. I mean, I'm definitely in the haunted attraction industry side of things of we are setting up fictional haunted attractions. But if you were going to convince me that a place is actually haunted, this would be one of the places you might have a shot at someday convincing me.
Yeah. This one and the museum in Budapest.
Oh, yeah.
The basement in there, that was... we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, that's an international one.
Yeah, that... Well, that wasn't actually a...
haunted attraction. No. It should be.
No, it shouldn't.
It should be. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, it would be completely inappropriate.
Yeah, you're right. You're completely right.
But as far as buildings that I've been in that felt eerie...
And creepy
by themselves...
And they maintain that...
Yeah.
Pained vibe, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely qualifies as a... It was, but like I said, Terror Behind the Walls is definitely something I have to see.
Right.
Unfortunately, our trip in Philly was not anywhere near the time they were open. They actually had a pretty long run, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was in, it was supposed to snow, but then didn't.
It was November, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. So it was just after season.
Yeah, it was just after season it concluded. So yeah, unfortunately, we have been there, we have seen it, we know what they're working with. It is amazing, and I really, really want to go when they're open sometime. Yeah. Oh, they also have interesting experiments with pricing, too.
Yeah.
They have various, the price changes pretty radically, depending upon the day. So, go earlier in season, you'll get a much, much better deal than you go later. And honestly, I like going to haunts and earlier in the season when I can, because I'm busy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, there's that, and there's also, you know, if you go in the second week, because opening night is kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
Especially for people who review haunted houses like us, but we have to. but if you go the second week, all of the actors know their parts, and they're really excited still to be there, and it's not the end of the season where sometimes you can get a little dragged
out. Yeah. Good point. So yeah, Eastern State Pen, Terror Behind the Walls, another must-see for me. That's on my haunt wish list.
Yep.
Another one. Now we're going coast to coast here, pretty much, aren't we?
Well, yeah, why not?
It's Knott's Scary Farm. Now, this one I have heard so much about.
Yeah.
So much about that I lose sight of the fact that Knott's Berry Farm is an actual theme park and, you know, does, like, theme park things. like the rest of the year, I've actually completely lost sight of that. I just think of it in my brain as Knott's Scary Farm. But yeah, it's located in Buena Park, California, for those who don't know. And reason one is I've never done any of the haunted attraction big theme parks.
Yeah.
Never done like Halloween Horror Nights, never done any of that stuff. Or what's the one at Six Flags?
Oh, God. Why did you ask me that?
I don't remember. And Carowinds had Scarowinds. I've never done any of these.
No, me either.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we don't live super close to a theme park that does it. We had a Six Flags...
Fright Fest,
thank you.
You're welcome.
We had a Six Flags here in New Orleans up until 2005.
Mm-hmm.
A little bad weather.
Yeah.
Six Flags decided it wasn't worth reopening, and now we don't have a major theme park that does that type of big Halloween attraction.
Right.
I think the closest would be Houston?
I think Dallas, actually.
Dallas might be closer?
No, it's not closer, but I think Dallas might be the closest.
Dallas, there's not one in Houston, is what you're saying.
There's... Not unless Astro World's still there. It was there when I was little, but I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't matter. Not practical anyway. The wind blows for us.
A little too far.
I'm like, I would love to do Halloween Horror Nights, too. I've heard a lot about it, and that's not officially an inclusion on this list. But yeah, the reason I want to go see Knott's Scary Farm is Sliders.
Yeah.
I have seen Sliders at other places. They were at The Darkness.
Yeah.
I've seen them at other haunts and as well, at least used... And usually when you see it at other haunts, it's like an actor or two, and they're usually just playing with a line. It's very cool. It's an impressive skill. And we went to a couple of talks about it at HauntCon.
Right.
Because I found it very fascinating, and I realized immediately I am way too goddamn old for this.
Yeah, yeah.
They're describing what you have to do to slide. Like, nope.
Yeah.
My knees and ankles just went, boop, screw you.
Yeah.
Not happening, Chief. I mean, I get it. If you do it right, it's not that hard on your joints and all that. But still, like, my entire lower body cringed when they were describing it. So I have the utmost respect for Sliders. And I've watched some of the videos of their work and the precision with which they can move. And I know at Halloween Horror Nights, they have a similar crew of sliders that are very, very good.
Right.
But this is where it started. This is where it, from my understanding, is still done the best. And I want to see it firsthand. And of course, I want to see the other attractions.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is ground zero for Sliders. And I think it's such a cool scare. I think it's such a cool way to interact with the crowd. And I want to go where it all began, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
In fact, when queuing up for this podcast, I watched a couple of videos of them doing it.
Yeah.
And, phew. I mean, there's one dude who was, like, sliding. And he was, like, jumping as he was sliding and jumping over people that were laying on the ground. And it's like, oh, God. This is how people die.
Well, you know. know.
Yeah, but it's like, this is absolutely insane. I have to see it firsthand. It's so remiss of me to have never been able to go. And I feel like, yes, I've seen sliders. I've seen some very good sliders at other haunts. But I don't feel like I've gotten the full experience.
Right.
And I want the full experience.
Yeah. I can understand that completely.
Yeah, like I said, check out the rest of it, too. I'm sure the rest of it's excellent as well, but sliders. That's why we're there.
So this next haunt is the Scare House in Etna, Pennsylvania. And it's one that whenever we were starting the Women in Haunting series, I did research to see if anybody was promoting the fact that they used women in scare roles. And these guys do. They pride themselves in not sexualizing patrons or female actors. They put their female actors in their top characters. They've got high quality sets and interesting themes. So, I think it's a cool idea.
Well, it's definitely a cool idea. And one of the things I liked about this one because I looked it up a little bit after you dropped this one to the show notes, was that they seem to... I don't want to call them SJW. That seems a stretch, but they do seem to really take these types of issues very, very seriously.
Yeah.
In a way that rest of the industry doesn't even like to talk about a lot.
Right. And it seems like that they are very adamant about creating a safe space for everyone.
Yeah. Which that may seem to go counter to the idea of a haunted attraction.
Yeah, but it shouldn't. It really shouldn't, because we should be as inclusive as we can be.
Well, and I use the analogy of we're like riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You want the roller coaster to be scary, you want it to put you in mortal fear of imminent death, but if you're walking up to it and you see termites eating the little boards coming up to it, that's a little too real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and unless you actually put in, like, a little ant farm type thing for termites, and so that it looks like it's decaying, but it's really just safe.
Like a non-structural part of the roller coaster.
So that dad that's in line that's saying, see how rotted that is?
Oh, man, Lord. I can't take you anywhere, Crystal. I can't take you any damn where.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But it's true. We could actually build something like that into the haunts and make it look authentically degraded.
But yes, the idea, though, of a haunt that works to be very inclusive, to create a safe space for everyone, it's not something we see a lot of.
Yeah.
It's not something I've really heard of outside of this one.
No, it's actually the only one I could find at the time that was promoting their views on this.
Yeah.
And it still is. Whenever I searched for it, I had to do 3 separate searches in order to remember the name of it.
And the thing about it is we know from doing the Women in Haunted series, which will be continuing soon, by the way, we hope, that the experiences of Women in Haunting are very varied.
Yes.
Very, very, very. Anyways.
That's correct.
It's varied. And so we know there are a lot of haunts that are doing this right and doing this well. And maybe just not putting it front and center.
Right.
Maybe not mentioning it.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like that whole Ogilvy thing I've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Where David Ogilvy once wrote, I can't remember which airline, I think it was United Airlines, saying, look at all the stuff we do before we take off to make sure that you're safe. And all he did was he got the FAA's pre-flight checklist and put it in an ad. And of course, it's like 120 damn things in it.
Yeah.
Because it's the FAA. But anyway, so all he did was print that. And people now associated this airline with safety.
Yeah.
Because they did all this wonderful stuff before you take off. And everyone else is going, phew. So yeah, seriously, this might be a good promotion point. But that's how they ended up on this list, was their promotion of it.
Right.
Putting it front and center is not a bad thing. Are you trying to find that damned airline?
I was, but...
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, the next one was one of my additions. It's the Erebus Haunted House in Pontiac, Michigan, getting up near Detroit now. Now, this one was formerly the largest indoor haunted attraction in the world. It held that title from 2005 to 2009, according to Guinness. It's now held by Cutting Edge Haunted House in Fort Worth, Texas, which is a haunt I know next to nothing about.
Right.
other than having, like, for 2 seconds, read the website in preparation for this. But anyways...
You know, Fort Worth actually isn't that far.
I know, it might be reachable. So we might be able to do that one. But the thing about Erebus, and the reason I'm so interested in it, is because it's always had a reputation for being absolutely giant.
Yeah.
But also very, very high quality.
Right.
Because being big don't mean much if you're not good. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yeah.
Because if you have, you know, a bajillion D square feet, if the bajillion D square feet is suck, you're just making it suck longer.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really, it's not really getting better. So, but Erebus has always had this very strong reputation, and I have some good friends in the Detroit area who write and tell me about it every flipping year, because he's a jerk. And he knows it drives me bonkers. You know who you are, Dean. You know who you are.
I don't think he listens to this. You should invite him to.
We should invite him to listen to this episode. But regardless, I, as someone who has always had to work in very space-confined haunts,
right?
Even outside the garage, every haunt we've done has had space issues.
Right.
We've never been able to do everything we want to do because of space. And it's crazy because, you know, you work with a haunt that literally, like across town here, we have one that has, they've rented an old supermarket.
Yeah.
Giant supermarket. It's got to be, what would you say, 12,000, 15,000 square feet? Ballpark?
Yeah.
It's huge. Still running out of space.
Yeah.
Still butting up against that square foot limit. I want to see what a really talented, really great haunted attraction does when it's got more space than I could ever dream up in my wildest Coke bender. I mean, I don't do Coke, kids. It's terrible.
No.
Don't do Coke. But yeah, I want more. I want more. And we've lost Crystal, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Do Diet anyway. Coke instead.
Yes.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm very, very curious what a haunt like that does.
Right.
And I, like I said, I've heard incredible things about them from my friends and people whose opinions I do value. So yeah, this one would be an incredible one to go to. And it's also one that's semi-plausible because we do have contacts in that area.
Right.
We do have people we know in that area, and there might be a potential excuse to go up there.
Yeah.
And it also helps that it's close enough to a major city. One of the ways I end up getting to go to attractions that are outside of the scope of the season is I get invited to speak at a conference, like, in mid-September, usually.
Right.
When I still am able to go.
Yeah.
And I'm able to swing by and pick up a haunt or two while I'm there. And Crystal, yeah, hopefully is able to come with.
Yes.
Otherwise, she gets sad.
Well, yeah.
She gets very, very sad. But yeah, so I definitely want to check out Erebus in functionally Detroit, but Pontiac, Michigan. It's functionally Detroit.
It is.
Moving on to another functionally in another city.
Yeah.
In Norcross, Georgia, another one of my picks, Netherworld. Now, okay, most of the haunts on this list, I have like a very specific reason I want to go.
Right.
Erebus, it's this huge size, and with Knott's Berry Farm, it's the sliders. Terror Behind the Walls, we want to see this extreme style haunting from that wonderful environment.
Right.
You know, we have Ravensgren Inn, a big year-round haunted home haunt.
Yeah.
You know, we have things we want. I don't have a specific reason for wanting to go see Netherworld.
That's fine.
But the reason I want to see Netherworld is because we got our start haunting in Columbia, South Carolina.
Right.
And we were working the small haunts and everything that was available there. And what did we keep hearing? Well, it's good, but it's not as good as Netherworld.
Yeah.
Netherworld's way better. And yeah, I hear great things about it. I'm sure it's absolutely awesome. But I never got to see it for myself because it's 4 hours away from Columbia. Atlanta and Columbia look really close together on a map.
Right.
They're not.
Well, and at that point, you know, we weren't used to making those kind of drives.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think we would have done it.
Yeah. I think if we were still in Columbia in 2017 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, God help us, what poor life choice would have led to that.
Yeah.
But yes, if we were, we probably would have seen Netherworld by now.
Oh, yeah.
But we always heard about this haunt. And they start. In fact, they just celebrated their 20th year.
Yes, they did.
Which it blows my mind. That's like practically grandpa age among haunting. That's another reason to go, is right. They celebrate their 20th year. But yes, it's supposedly one of the best haunts in the region. It was what I kept hearing about when I was haunting in Columbia. And so I want to see it firsthand. I want to see just how pathetic our little Boy Scout haunt was compared to Netherworld. I know Netherworld is probably significantly more safe.
Well, yeah.
Considering, you know, being downwind of a firing range was probably safer than that. Christ, I'm surprised no one got hurt. I laughed, but I shouldn't. I'm actually terrified.
Yeah.
I laughed to hide the fear.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. It's okay.
It's okay. But yeah, seriously, Netherworld, I definitely have to check that one out at some time.
Right. Okay, next up. Headless Horseman. This is one of the big ones. This is one of the big ones that's on all the lists. It's in Ulster Park, New York. It operates on a 250-year-old farm and has 10 separate attractions, stunt actors, magicians. It's got a huge trail and giant built things also.
Yeah, that's like what they're really best known for, is these giant builds.
Yeah.
Like judging from the videos I've seen, think like the big thing they burn at Burning Man.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, but not actually burning.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Please do not set any of the props on fire.
No. Don't do it.
Please don't
do
that. That would be terrible.
Yeah. I don't think our listeners would do that.
No, our listeners. I'm not worried about our listeners.
Well, that's who's listening. So you don't have to warn them not to.
Anyways.
And honestly, so, it's a silly reason, but the first time I heard the name, Headless Horseman, I have always loved the story.
Yeah.
That was my favorite Halloween story when I was tiny.
Yep.
So, of course I wanted to go check it out. And if he's not there, I will be very disappointed.
Yeah, but I think the first encounter I had with him was on one of those TV shows.
Yeah.
Like Most Extreme Haunts or one of those kitschy shows that Ellie records for us every year.
Yeah, I think we watched it together. It was like on Travel Channel or something.
Travel log things, and that one really stood out from the pack just because of the giant builds they had and how they really took advantage of the fact that they're an outdoor haunt, ipso facto, no ceiling.
Right. Yeah.
This is kind of a natural extension of the outdoor thing.
Yeah.
And so they took the opportunity to build these mammoth things, and I just was blown away by not just the size, but the detail.
Yeah.
And what they did with it. So, yeah, I won't. And the thing about it is, I know viewing it, even on our giant-ass TV, does no justice.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to see this firsthand. I want to put my puny self up against their giant props.
Yeah, and if we are up that way, I would also want to check out Haunted Overload, which is not really that close. It's in New Hampshire, but that part of the country.
Yeah.
So, for the same reasons.
Okay, fair
enough. So they're very similar from what I can tell.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay, well, next up is one that, well, we have
brand new.
Yeah, it's brand new, and we're throwing out also, admittedly, a little fan service here.
Oh, yeah.
But it's to Jake's Palace here and Hell's Gate Haunted House in Lockport, Illinois.
Right.
This one is, like you said, brand new, and I love the fact from the outset that they were playing off the urban legend that we've all flipping heard.
Yes.
About that haunt that you, if you make it through, you get it free, or you knock three times and spin around, whatever.
Yeah.
It changes a little bit.
Right, it does.
But long and short of it, Hell's Gate, it sounds like a great haunt. I've heard great things about it. They struggled a little bit with the opening night. They oversold on their Groupon.
Yeah.
But it seems like if you push that issue to the side, they're a very solid haunt, and they got things down more. And so second season definitely seems like it would be a much, much better run. So, it seems exactly like the type of haunt we love. Very creative, very imaginative, actor-driven.
Right. They've got a lot of theater people who work there. They, and one of the things that Jape said when talking about it, and he helped out there for a few weekends, is that even the floors are hardwood floors.
Yeah.
They put a lot of love and care into building this.
Detail work.
I love detail work.
Oh, detail work. Oh, yes. Detail work. Oh, detail work.
I'm glad this isn't a video recording. Because you guys don't want to see what just happened.
Probably not. But yeah, so it definitely one to check out. And like I said, I'm story driven with my haunting.
Right.
I like story a lot. I'm the writer here in that way. So I love how they played off of the legend.
Right.
I like that imagination. So yeah, I definitely want to check them out.
Yeah, they've got something for both of us there.
Yeah, they do. Okay, that brings us to one we heard about at HauntCon 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is really interesting.
Right.
Vault of Souls.
Yes. The reason we haven't gone, even though it's in Florida, and it is a little bit further than we usually travel, is price. Because this is a pricey one.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where it is in Florida. We didn't have it in the notes. I'm pulling it up.
I'm sorry, that's my fault.
It's okay. No, this was a great inclusion.
But it's basically a elegant night of haunting.
Tampa, Florida, by the way.
Yes.
Which actually is not convenient to us in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it should be.
No, it is not. We drove through Tampa once.
I know.
And we were still like 15 hours from home.
Yeah.
But anyways, sorry.
Yeah, but it's a new type of experience. Basically, you dress up and they have valet parking and you go and you have cocktails and listen to music. And then you're taken down into this expansive basement that's in the vault of a bank. And you get to roam around and interact with characters and you can pick how long you stay down there.
Yes.
Because you can choose to find every clue and every little hidden Easter egg, or you can just walk through and look at it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very different kind of experience. It's not what I would call a traditional haunt, and they didn't either whenever I learned about it.
Yeah, we spoke with them pretty at length about it, and the thing about it is, obviously, if you couldn't tell from the free cocktails, the piano bar, the valet parking, the unlimited time, this is pricey.
Yeah.
Multiple hundreds of dollars for most tickets.
Yeah, I think it was $150 to $250, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was a couple of years ago. I cannot find any information about reservations right now.
But, so yeah, we were very interested in that idea. And like I said, this is one of those creative and imaginative haunt ideas that I'm not sure how well it's going to work.
Yeah.
But I applaud the hell out of you for trying it.
Yeah, and it is completely story-based, too.
Yeah.
And that's what you're trying to... That's what the Easter eggs are for.
Yeah, you're trying to... Yeah, and that's one thing I found interesting about was that the way you described it, it was like a hybrid of a haunt and an escape room.
Yeah.
Slash, like, dinner theater.
Right, with a sandbox element of being able to roam wherever.
Yeah, you're not... Instead of being locked in a room and trying to unravel the mystery, you're free roaming and unraveling the mystery.
Right.
And interacting with the actors and... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of like murder mystery slash escape room slash haunted attraction.
Yeah. It sounds very cool. I would love to go and try this out.
Yeah, so... price is the big issue. Also, Tampa is a very, very far distance away, despite it sounding like it should not be.
Yeah.
We drove to Key West, you know this.
I know.
19 hours to Key West, people.
Well, yeah, that's Key West. Tampa was before Key West.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't like 18 hours from Tampa to Key West. It felt like it, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it did.
And finally, once again, a little bit of fan service, I believe.
Right.
Dent Schoolhouse in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right, coming back to thank... Maximus Christian Bryant again for suggesting this topic. But also, this has been on my radar for a while because it does make, it is one of those that makes the top list just because it is called the most thoroughly themed haunt, in the U.S., meaning that they keep the same theme throughout, and it's from the videos, it seems to be true. It seems to hold up.
Yeah, I've watched a few videos on them in the past. I didn't watch any new ones for this.
Right.
But we'd seen videos in the past, and it seems, like you said, the theme is religious.
Yeah.
In this, from what I can grasp. And I love that.
Yeah.
One of my frustrations, I mean, it's like I said, I love the 13th Gate, for example. I don't understand the theming.
No.
To save my ass, I don't understand the theming.
No.
Well, I love it. It's a great haunt. I don't get the theme.
Well, the thing is, okay, so with 13th Gate, there, for me, I don't have to think about the theme because there isn't one.
Yeah.
For Mortuary, they theme their haunt every year.
Yes.
And every year, they say that it's this, and I can never see the theme.
Yeah.
If you tell me that there's a theme, I'm going to look for it.
Yeah.
If you don't, that's fine. I will still have a great time. But don't tell me for it and then not deliver.
Yeah.
This seems like it delivers.
Yeah, it seems like it delivers. Excellent acting, excellent set design. Everything I've heard about this haunt has been genuinely just great.
Right.
I've not heard a single ill word about it at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very, very curious about it. And it's in a, you know, that part of the country really has come in. The Ohio River Valley area, as it's often called, that section has really come into its own as a haunt culture.
Yeah.
I would say probably since we started haunting.
Yeah.
I had not heard a lot about haunts from this region until, I mean, it's been a while. It hasn't been like super real. It wasn't like they sprang up last year or anything.
Right.
But like really as far as like national level, like at least the word getting to us here in New Orleans, it's been over, I would say, the last 7-8 years or so.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, you'd always hear about what's going on the coasts.
Right.
California, New York, what's the big haunt in those places? What are they doing there? What's Not Scary Farm doing this week?
Right.
That type of stuff. And now it seems to be that corridor there is really shining through. And Cincinnati is not, if you'd asked me to name haunt towns, I wouldn't have had Cincinnati on the list.
Right.
But
yeah. Well, in that same vein, Kyle has talked many times about Salt Lake and all of the little haunts that are there. There's like a ton of them, apparently. I believe that that was the city.
Yeah, Salt Lake City in Utah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't think of that as being a big haunt hub, but it is.
I guess
and
it is.
And I would like to go there one season, not that that'll ever actually happen.
No.
I and guess visit like 20.
I guess there must be like Dick Alda 2 in Salt Lake or something. I don't.
That's pretty much what he said, yeah.
So then we'll go to haunts. Yeah. All right. Screw it. I'll build a haunt.
It's that and gambling, right?
I don't know. I think Vegas is more the gambling town, Las Vegas. I have no idea. I really have no idea what there is to do in Salt Lake City. If you're from Salt Lake City, let us know.
Yeah. Apparently haunting.
Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Any other last minute additions you were thinking of? We've got a couple more minutes, not long, but a minute or two.
No, not at the moment.
We have not ripped off our lovely patrons here if we end this now. our listeners, not patrons.
Yeah, I know.
But we've not ripped anyone off if we end it now. But yeah, it's always interesting to do these wish lists because it makes you realize just how much of the haunting world you don't get to see.
Right.
Even if you, I mean, we try to go to at least a dozen to 15 haunts every year.
Yeah. And this is a tiny list of what we want to see.
Yeah. We had to actually put a hard break in our Google Doc.
Right.
We said, nothing else now.
Yeah. Basically, I saw you leave the document and I'm like, oh, I should probably make this the last one.
And I didn't actually leave it. I accidentally closed it. So I was good. But anyway. It seemed like as good of a time as any. And we apparently had plenty to talk about. And there's at least a dozen more in the U.S. Plus, we've got some international ones we want to talk about.
Right.
So yeah, this will probably be the first of a multi-part series.
Yeah. And we've also got some friends who run ones like Scaratorium.
Yeah.
Would love to go and see them. And love to, you know, go in that general direction.
Yeah, once again, going back to the Ohio Valley area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a lot to think about here and a lot of haunts to see, a lot of creativity, a lot of imagination. I am digging the direction of the industry. Then that's the thing. It's like, it's easy when you read the news. It's easy when you're thinking about it and talking about it from a business perspective to get kind of glum about it. Building a list like this makes you excited again.
Yeah.
This was such a great idea. Thank you for that one.
Yeah.
Thank you for the idea. It was a wonderful one. We're definitely going to take this football and run with it a little while longer, if we may.
Yeah.
Well, anything else?
That's it.
Okay, well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us once again. Find us at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook. Like, share, subscribe, do all that good social media stuff that is wonderful listeners I know you will do. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 71, compiling our haunt wish list, or part one of the haunt wish list. I'm sure.
I think we're just talking about haunts we want to go to.
Yeah, basically, yes. Send us your suggestions, send us your ideas, and we will see you guys next week.